Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com. This is a Paramount podcast. I am Mike Casazza. I am fully staffed. Joining me today is Chris Anderson. Chris, I don't know. There's probably only one place to start right now. That, of course, is John Calipari going to Arkansas. We saw this coming, right?
I said in the thread, Mike, these coaches are getting better and better at changing jobs before they get fired. Obviously, I don't know if, given his buyout, Calipari was really going to get fired, but he seemed to be on edge, on his way out, and he's just gone. And as somebody else pointed out, it's kind of just a ring around the rosy of these coaches taking, let's say, a step down to kind of avoid getting fired and moving different places. And I don't know. This coaching stuff's getting weird, because we saw it in football. We saw, you know, head coaches leaving for position spots. So it's weird. It's weird. But this might top it, because is this the biggest story of the day, even though the national championship game is being played tonight? Is this bigger than the national championship game?
Yeah, absolutely. Just because of the name, Arkansas is like one of those fringe power programs, like, has some national championships, has like pedigree for sure, been good the last couple of years, and like in the best way, it's like kind of crazy, like they'll go out and do something like this because they can, they have the support to do it. And also, like, just Calipari too, what the heck went on there? By the way, think of all the money not spent and earned here. Enright Enfield leaves USC to go to SMU. He's either going to get fired or not there, but like, that's one of your jobs you're talking about, goes to SMU. That opens up. Musselman goes from Arkansas to USC. He could have been fired, didn't, leaves. And then obviously Calipari to Arkansas. That's three jobs linked together by nobody getting fired and the schools not having to pay that money. And I wonder how much money those schools end up. How much is, like, Calipari owe Kentucky? How much does Musselman owe Arkansas? How much does Enfield owe USC? I don't know those things, but like, that's a weird way to go. Does it mean that once you get fired? I don't know. Kind of a weird thing when that happens. But again, Something else is kind of funny is I forget the number here. I'm going to update this, but those are Power Five coaching jobs filled by Power Five coaches, which doesn't happen. And I think 17 in the past, like since West Virginia joined the Big 12, I think I had 17 Power Five to Power Five coaching moves. Here's three more, right? And I guess a little bit different when you count SMU, but still, that's a Power Five job now. It's a major conference job. Pretty unique set of circumstances there. Chris, let's stop dilly-dallying. People are obviously here to talk about West Virginia's basketball staff or lack thereof at the moment. We had a Q&A idea. We hadn't done a Q&A in a couple of weeks because of all the basketball stuff that was happening. We decided, hey, let's open it up. We'll ask them to ask us any questions under the sun. Golly, wouldn't you know what they landed on, right? Who's in, who's out, what in the world is going on? We'll try to answer these things here, but I guess as always I say, like, just you don't need me to tell you like this isn't going perfectly right now. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, but maybe we can add some nuance and some explanations and maybe point this forward toward a finish line here. No surprises, but lots of questions, I suppose.
Yeah, we got questions mostly dealing with basketball, mostly dealing with that topic in basketball. We'll get there very quickly. Look later in the week for those people who ask questions about non-basketball stuff. Mm-hmm. Separate pod coming later in the week. Be prepared for that. Let's start it off simple before we get into more details as to why and how and when and who and all those other questions. Preston County, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
He wants it on a scale of 1 to 10. Let's just give a number, Mike, and then we'll get into details. Scale of 1 to 10, how panicked should I be about the lack of new coaches and players to our men's basketball team? Give me a number.
I never panic. I worry. I'm always worried. I never panic because if you graduate from worrying, you graduate from whatever plan you have. And if you're panicked, you're in a whole new set of plan, implement, execute, whatever. So that's difficult for me to get there right now. That said, you need more than one coach in your staff right now. You'd like to have some people who could spread out across the country. So I can't even go middle because middle would be, it's not a big deal. I'm like at a six. It should be a bigger deal. And like the roster has not come together quickly either. Can you do both at once? Probably not. So you got to get one done before the other, and that's not happening either. So I can't say it's a one. I wouldn't say it's a 10. And because it's not as far along as it maybe could or should be right now, I can't even go with a five on you. So give me a solid six.
I'm with you. I'm leaning more towards worried slash panicked slash whatever you want to call it, six, seven in there. And we'll get into a little more detail why here in a second. Obviously, some of the fans are already noting that another candidate, Mark Byington, got his job at Vanderbilt after West Virginia announced DeVries and has a full coaching staff already. Full coaching staff. So that's going to make people quick to compare, since that was the comparison about who West Virginia was going to hire. I don't think that's fair, but I also think, as you noted, it is fair to ask, why only one? Now, and we'll get into that because we got a bunch of questions. We'll try not to lump them together because they are a little bit different. So let's go with, let's see here. Cobb 0012. Has DeVries had conversations with the previous coaching staff? Considering the delay he's had in filling coaches, do you think he'd sign some of them to 1 year prove it deals? He is speaking of, I assume, guys like Butler, Cabe, Mar Johnson, coaches that were already on the staff. Mike, is it possible?
Yeah, they've had the conversations. There's even been offers extended to people off the court. So like an assistant coach, would you like to be our video coordinator? And right now, that answer is a hard no, because I'm not sure that this individual wants to do that again. Oops, wants to do that. And where else are they going to get a coach right now? There's four spots. So that would be an interesting topic to revisit maybe in a couple of days. Here's the thing, like Chris, my six on the first question would not have been a six had we done this podcast Thursday. It would not be a six if we did this podcast a couple of days from now Thursday. So if you'd asked me a couple of days ago Thursday, I'd be like, yeah, probably four or five. If you asked me a couple of days from now Thursday, I'd probably be a seven or eight, right? If it was still one coach, it's because it bothers him in this era where the roster has to come together quickly. So there have been conversations for sure with people and even offers extended as to, would you be open to this? And the answer right now, I mean, if the answer had been yes, you would have that news release in your email or on the website. Has not happened. And like, don't forget too, like Ron Everhart's still out there. James Dickey is still out there. A lot of people have talked about McCabe and Ruoff and Butler and DeMar Johnson. They went 9-23, Chris, and they were largely new and inexperienced assistant coaches. I don't know what would invigorate you about bringing a lot of them or all of them back, especially when you have a, I believe Nick Norton is 26. If you got that young, aggressive, hungry, I'll do the office work, assistant coach stuff, got one of those guys in the staff, you probably don't need a second one of like, hey, I'll prove myself in this first year. And if you did, yeah, it's a 1 year deal, I think. So short answer, yes, they have not consummated anything yet, but if this does go on longer, it can't go on longer. And then you might gobble up a Deshaun Butler or Ron Everhart just to get some experience, some recognition, you know, a guy who knows how to coach because he's been around for so long. And then a guy who is known and can recruit and has done a bunch of different things in basketball. And remember, only three of the five can be on the road assistant coaches. So if you're worried, for example, about Ron Everhart's age and his health, those questions that we asked so many off seasons in a row, is this it for him? Will he retire? Will he go into an office role? So on and so forth. He doesn't have to be a recruiting assistant coach. He can do on-campus stuff and he'd be on the court as one of the five. You only get three who can go out. And last year it was Alex Ruoff. It was Jordan McCabe. It was DeMar Johnson. Deshaun did not go off campus to recruit last year, and James Dickey counted as one of their five. He did not go off campus to recruit either. So you can kind of see the pieces there where maybe this would work if they had to do something like that. It wouldn't be the end of the world. This wouldn't be what they wanted to do to begin the world.
And I'm going to cherry pick a little bit off of that. And from L. Schaefer, he asked, who are the previous assistants do you feel would be most useful? I'm guessing McCabe, he says. How can you tell? How do you know? You know, as far as on court coaching, that team was a mess. I mean, guys were in, guys were out, guys were suspended, injured, back in, out. The team was bad. They were thrown into this mix to coach. So it's hard to say, hey, that guy was great at getting the most out of his position. How do you know? You don't. And then recruiting, how are they supposed to recruit in that? I mean, we talk about McCabe because he was really the only one that was mentioned with some of these recruits, but what are you pitching to these kids? Hey, the team is bad right now. We have a coach that's not going to be here, a staff that's not going to be here. Come sign with the Mountaineers. Come visit. Like, how do you pitch that? How do you recruit that? That seems impossible. So gauging what these coaches are capable of doing and whether or not they should, you know, get another job right now at West Virginia, that seems impossible to do. And I think it's unfair to kind of, you know, judge them based on what happened last year. So kind of in limbo for me about whether or not you should ask these guys to come back or in what roles or in some roles, limited roles. But I do agree with the, hey, that was tough. How about, you know, for a couple of these guys, hey, how about 1 year, you know, I mean, come try it out, something. So don't know how many will end up. It may end up being a situation, and this might pick up the 1 to 10 scale for some of the listeners here to like an 8 or a 9. But can I go so far as to say the Vries may not have a choice but to bring one or two of these guys back? Like, are we getting into that territory here of his other options going elsewhere that he's turning back to these assistant coaches that maybe he otherwise wouldn't look at?
Yeah, the hourglass has been turned upside down, Chris, just because like the portal is so big, especially if you're starting, and recruiting is enormous, especially when you're starting. And if you have one head coach and one assistant who are out there right now working, granted, it's a dead period, I get that, but you can still get a lot of work done. And that's difficult to do right now with just two people when you can actually have six. So just think of just it's literally one third of your manpower right now too, which means one third of your connections, the conversations you can start and have, the invitations that you can initiate. You're just limited right now. So that's not ideal. And how long can you do that and expect to be, you know, never mind fully staffed, but fully rostered and have a good roster? Not long. Like, I don't think you have to rush it and compromise your first staff, but also you can't compromise your first staff by being patient either. It's a really weird balance right now. I've not seen something like this here covering teams of West Virginia. I can't say I pay a ton of attention to coaching transitions at other schools, but it's also kind of foolhardy to believe that when you sit down with an athletic director, you don't have a list of who you'd like to have in your staff. And if you're the athletic director, you're not asking that question too. And in no scenario do I think that Darren DeRise said, you know what, we'll get our staff done, I don't know, April 12, April 15. How does April 15 sound? I don't think that was something that said, hey, that's our guy, let's get him. Like, Baker's like this, talking to him. I don't think that was the answer that got him across the finish line, too. So just logically, it doesn't make sense. So that's not what the plan is. That's not what they're trying to do. How long can you go down that road where you're just hoping someone says yes, you're hoping someone falls out of a tree. No, you go back to the tree that you passed a while ago and you start to pluck coaches off of there, maybe, and you figure out, how many do I need to be functional before I can fish a little bit more? How many do I need to be really impactful when it comes to recruiting and building a roster? And how many do I need right now? There's a balance there too. And again, we'll see how this goes. I don't have a lot of fallback experience here, but it does seem like this is going to be something that has to pick up sooner than later, logically.
All right. We got two names that people brought up in questions that we've mentioned on the board, or I think you've mentioned an article. Apparently you've been credited with mentioning this name in the articles. We'll start there. L. Schaefer asked, is there a possibility, asking about the possibility of retaining Josh Eiler in some sort of role, a compressed assistant hiring timeline. Do you feel that's a good idea?
It looks worse now than it would have the first day of hiring the guy. Like, if you hired Darren DeVries and he said, I will have a spot for Josh Eiler, okay, that's cool. And maybe Josh says, no, thank you, and he gets an assistant job at UMKC, something like that. Right now, if you're this deep into the woods and you come back and say, hey, we got a great idea, you're going to love it, we're bringing back Mr. 9-23, who only got this job because the other guy had a couple public episodes, that's not going to look very good either. It's a very different sentiment, a very different execution there too. I think before what I think now, or I thought before what I think now, there's a spot for him in your office somewhere. It could be as a coach, it could be as a liaison, I'm not sure, but there's just not five people, I don't think, especially now, who are more qualified to know about this job on the ground and how to make it work. Are there five people who are better at it? That's a good question. I don't think I asked myself that enough before. People have pointed that one out to me. He knows the landscape and all that stuff. Cool. But why? Why was he here so long? Why didn't someone else say, that guy's got it, let me get him? And why hasn't it happened right now? I don't know. So I think it might have been a good idea before, if you hit the ground running with the plan on that one about, hey, Josh will be on our bench as one of our five assistant coaches. We really respect his time here and what he did last year. Cool. And even if that was just like a one-year deal so he can get a job in the future doing what he wants to do, and so he doesn't have to be the second or third assistant coach at UMKC, that's fine. If you do that now, I think it looks different. It sounds different. It might be a little bit more desperate as opposed to intentional. That's going to be in the eye of the beholder and how they explain that one away. I would think that's unlikely right now, just because I guess the visuals, Chris, would that make sense?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely. Next one comes from J.A. Ear. Rob Fulford, is he a candidate? For those who don't know, Fulford was the coach at Huntington Prep, is now an assistant coach at Akron. Possibility? Yes, probably.
Available,
Anything
right?
you've heard on that? Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He's got connections to the prep pipeline. He has connections around the state. He has connections around the Midwest too, you know, being in Ohio, so he can help recruit over in that area. And he has been known for quite some time as a pretty good recruiter. So, and he's gotten a few years under his belt at Akron. So now he's a seasoned assistant, I guess you could say. So he's got what you kind of are looking for in some of these spots. I just don't know how much he's been mentioned so far. Have you heard anything specific?
Missouri before that too. So he's gotten a couple of stints on staffs and high level college basketball. Akron's been pretty good for a couple of years under John Gross too. So it's not like he's just been spending his time building a resume. They've been winning too. So I've heard the name, Chris, you've heard the name as well. I'm not sure what side is pushing that one. I'm not sure it even matters right now, because if Team Fulford is starting a whisper campaign, one, good for them. The timing is pretty ideal right now. Because a lot of people go, well, wait a second, we need a coach. What's wrong with this guy, right? So that's not a bad move by him. And even if that did happen, somebody over in the Coliseum looks him up, wikis him, asks some people, and you're going to get good reviews about him too. So I'm not sure it matters, even though what the inception point is. I think it might have been more on his side. But again, that doesn't really matter right now. And I know there have been conversations. People have heard about him. Where that is, don't know. But like, if that's not a name that you hear soon, what more do you need to know or ask about him than you couldn't have done in the past couple of days? And people have been talking about this. I would imagine that either he's not interested or they're not interested, and it goes from there. But short answer again, yeah, have heard it. Not sure who pushed it. Not sure it even matters.
Another question from J.A. Ear asks, now that the basketball search is over, can you give us a name or two that was vetted that we did not hear about? Is there anybody else? I mean, I know you did the behind the scenes. You mentioned some names, and they were only – What was it? Four guys who got interviewed? Is it four?
My knowledge, yes.
Yeah. So was there, I think the answer might already be in that story, but was there anything else you wanted to add to that for that question?
No, anybody that we put on the hot board, that was because those were names that they were looking into actively. I don't want to get into the mechanism and all that stuff, but like Ted, promise you, those were names that were mentioned for sure. So I think we had what in total, Chris, 14. At some point, and how realistic was a John Beilein? How realistic was a Will Wade? And that's literally the first name and the last name of our first hot board. I'm not sure either one of them really, but we had him in there because there were questions about him. I think the one that probably interests me most would be Shaheen Holloway. And I'm not sure what went into that one, but like that, he doesn't fit with the rest of the candidates who are on that list, I don't think. And yet, there was, because of that, there was some intrigue about him. Like, of the group, I'm trying to think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but probably the best former player, right? I'm trying to go back in my head now through all this. Probably the best former player. Youngest in a high major sense. Now there were, and again, high major would be a rare target for West Virginia. It was him. It was Kyle Smith, Beilein, I guess. I'm not sure you count Chris Mack. But again, they did not go for high major coaches because they're not attainable. So why was he one? And I think just the fact that they, even though there is this push, I think, understandably, controversially, whatever, to move away from the prior 17 years, to clean the slate and start over, there was still something that said, man, what if we got back into New York City? And what if we played really hard defense? And what if we had a Big East brand in the Big 12? Because, man, some of these Big 12 games reminded me of Big East games in the past, too. Could you be like a really guard-heavy, defensive-led team that had bigs who rebounded and you had that Metro New York City attitude to you? I think that would have been a cool idea to pursue. Never really went anywhere, I don't think, too far. He was playing, and it was hard to get into his camp because they were focused on pushing to the NCAA tournament, had to make a run in the Big East tournament, and then they ended up winning the NIT. Never really went further, but just for various reasons, that one stood out to me the most. But I can't tell you, if I had known somebody that was in it, it would have been on the hot board. So anybody that we knew that was involved was. There might have been a third party, you know, connection between somebody, hey, don't get my name out here, but I'd be interested in the job, and Rem Baker pulled that one away and didn't tell anybody in his search committee. I never heard of that, though.
Next question from Fetty. Baker spoke about DeVries saying he wanted this job from the people he talked to. Is this just canned AD speak, or was DeVries actually trying to get this job and not just a job at the power level? He was obviously one of the hottest candidates out there, arguably the second best behind May. Having said all that, is WVU a destination job in basketball now, or at least in Big 12?
Right now, a good question. I think for certain caliber coaches, for sure. And that's one of the appeals of going for mid-major coaches too, is that you want what you don't have. And if you leave Des Moines, Iowa, you walk out of the practice facility, you drive to the airport, you fly, you land in Clarksburg, the AD picks you up. He spends 45 minutes telling you about the campus, and you walk in, you go, holy cow. You know, these 45-minute conversations about my budget and how I can staff and how we charter everywhere and this and that. And then you see the Coliseum, you see the practice facility. Yeah, that's going to look good. If you're the head coach at Kentucky and you're going to Arkansas to visit, that's not going to be quite as impactful too. So it's going, there are levels to it, Chris. Like a guy who's from a Power Five who has all those luxuries is not going to be as blown away or taken aback by what he witnesses and experiences in Morgantown. A guy who's coming from the Missouri Valley Conference obviously will be. And again, that's part of the plan of getting coaches too. Like you got to get somebody who's excited to be there and wants to be there and isn't comparing your job constantly with what he doesn't have and what he wants. And, you know, when I think about how things a little bit, when Sy was at John Beilein, he wanted some things that he couldn't have and he knew other programs had in West Virginia wouldn't go the distance on some of that stuff. Like they didn't charter. Think about that. Like they were playing in like the Elite Eight and they weren't a charter team. Like that's a long time ago, I guess. But like that was something that he kind of pushed for and it took a while to get there. They chartered some games, but not all of them. Like I flew commercial with them on some flights from like Providence and New Jersey. It's crazy. That's the truth. So again, it's going to depend on who you're bringing in and showing in. But I think for the right amount of people on the list there, yeah, it's a destination job. Question is it a catapult job? Like, do you spend a couple times here, maybe in between mid-major and high major, and then you go to a high major program? Like if DeVries is the head coach at Iowa in the 2026 season, is that because he's from Iowa or is it because Iowa's a better job? Well, that's one thing. But if he's the coach at Louisville in 2 years, something like that, what happened here? Then maybe that's a shortcoming for West Virginia. And I don't know, Chris, perhaps you trace it back to right now where it was hard to put together a staff and hard to put together a roster. Why is that? The coach isn't going to blame himself. I promise you that, right? Who or what around him. But again, that's a story you can't write right now, but you can store it away and you know, open that drawer in the file cabinet in the future.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, it's just like how West Virginia didn't go shooting for, you know, Calipari or the top, you know, power program coaches. As far as this being a destination job, it absolutely should be a destination job for guys in the mid-major, just like you said, with the MVC, Missouri Valley Conference, and those types of conferences. Even for the elite coaches like DeVries, I would agree that I think he was probably one of the top three candidates out there for, you know, any major college that was looking in the mid-major ranks because, in part, you know, your facilities are probably top 25. I mean, again, we've gone over this. We've had this discussion a lot about how other teams come over here and look at West Virginia's practice facilities. They base their new practice facilities off of what West Virginia does. So you've got top 25 facilities. You had top 10, top 15 salaries. So the money is around. It's possible. You're not going to get it because you're a new guy. You're not a Hall of Famer. You also know that the NIL money is possible. Will it come back? That's a discussion for another day, but it's possible. So you can see the potential here. This is why West Virginia should be a destination job for, like you said, the mid-major type guys. In Hunter, real quick on this one, since this is happening today, how does Calipari leaving Arkansas affect our assistant coaches we haven't hired yet? In Hunter 17.
It doesn't help. I'm not sure it hurts, but yeah. Like, I guess that they got on the same, you know, call waiting system and, you know, DeVries on line one, Calipari on line two, that might be awkward, I guess, but I don't know how often those streams are going to cross.
As I say, any job could have a trickle effect to affect anything with West Virginia. So sure, don't put it past it, but probably not much.
And that's something I want to point out. Like, again, I'm not being apologists here, but like the coaching conventions in Phoenix for the Final Four, you had a good amount of activity in like a cluster of jobs, like the West Virginia, SMU, Arkansas kind of a level. Like, I know Arkansas just got Phil, but they were looking for a coach for a couple of days, and that wasn't a secret that was going to happen too. So I think assistant coaches are just kind of like sitting back a little bit. They prioritize things too. Do I want to come back here and be the number two or number three? Could I catch on with my friend, my former colleague? Hey, I was an assistant coach with him. Let's see what happens with him. That stuff does happen. This is going to be a busy week. It should be a busy week. If it's not, next week's podcast is going to be wild.
Yeah, well, and that is a good reminder about the thing in Phoenix, the Final Four. That's where all the coaches go. They go to the Final Four. They are always there. And that's where the convention is, like you said, the coach convention. For all of our football listeners, like, we are predominantly, not predominantly, but most of the people who are on the board are football people. And they're like, why is this basketball set? Think about it like this, just with football. That January coaches convention where all the coaches get together and they talk, they chat. That's where a lot of those connections are made. That's where the hires eventually come from or used to come from. Think about it like that with basketball. That's what's happening this week with the Final Four. So, like you said, 6 or 7 right now. If we're still here a few days from now, 9, 10?
Worries. Again, you would feel better about the staff if you have more assistants, or excuse me, have more players in the roster. You would feel better about the roster coming together, even if it hadn't, if you had more assistant coaches. So there's a floating bar there about your 1 through 10. But when neither one is moving it, right, then it naturally kind of moves up toward 10. That's nothing you could say to counter that. If you don't have coaches and players, it's a bad spot. Pretty sure. I did double check. I'm pretty sure.
Related to that, Barb77 says, how many basketball signings do you see possible out of next weekend's visits? Quick answer on that is a handful, because I think right now there's only 2 or 3 visits set. I don't have that up right in front of me right now, but 2 or 3 visits set. I expect that number to jump to 5 or 6 before we get to the weekend. And then, you know, assume half of those guys probably end up at West Virginia. But to Mike's point, it's more difficult to add players when you don't have coaches. So probably need to figure out the coach part of this first before you worry about how many commitments you're going to get from transfers this coming weekend. So,
yeah. And again, on the hourglass thing and you know, Everhart, Deshaun, whomever, right? I'm not saying that's happening. If it's being kicked around, that's fine. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen. But if you get some coaches who are signed and official and announced by, I don't know, Chris, as late as Wednesday, like, they will have been recruiting for a couple of days. That's just how that works. Like, you get like your sheet and, okay, let's do the HR work, but you can go to work now. You can pick up a phone. You can have a Zoom, but you want to have it done this week just because, like, that dead period ends the 12th, I believe. And you can have people on campus too. And not that you have to get all your business done in 1 week. If you're going to be legitimately competitive in the first year, you want to take advantage of the first few days, that first window where, you know, you may not have him on campus the first day, but he might be on his way from school A to school C, and he stops at B in Morgantown. Like, so someone, you want to be in their travel plans. If you're not their travel plan, you'd like to be in their travel plans. And you saw this, like, through the transfer portal. I'll be here on Monday. I'll be here on Thursday. I'll be here on Monday. Like, it just kind of goes along like that too. And for West Virginia, they kind of feel like if they get you here, they can get their clamps on you and keep you put in place to sign something, right? So that's why this is such a big deal to get not only players on campus this weekend, but you kind of need like the assistant coaches who can get people to come to campus. It's nice to know who you're going to play for. If you're a guard from, you know, the Conference USA level right now, and you walk in and you meet DeVries and you meet Nick Norton, who the heck are my other assistant coaches? Like, who's my guard coach? That's going to be a hard conversation to have, right? But if your guard coach actually calls you on Tuesday and says, hey, come to Morgantown, you know who you're playing for, and you're going to meet him and 2 other coaches, DeVries and Norton. So it really is an important, I don't know, Chris, 24 hours, 48 hours, 96 hours. Like, you really want to have something substantive done this week just so you're not in line and having people look at you when they're asking questions about why should I play here as to why would I visit there. You got to get some stuff done this week for sure.
For you message board sleuths that are watching this on video, it looked like Mike went from Pittsburgh to Charlottesville. So Pitt, UVA. Who's visiting Pitt, UVA? He's coming to
Ronnie.
WVU.
Ronnie. It was actually Duquesne and Harris.
All right. So we got 3 questions in 6 minutes. Let's see what we can do it. Woodsy22 asks, I heard Zach Edey say he hasn't got paid NIL being from Canada like American-born players. Last year, we seemed to be ahead of that on creative ways to pay Kerr and Jesse. Would we use that this year for a top player of need? And then I'm going to add here, just where that Italy trip comes in. Is going to spend a lot of time between games in Italy filming commercials?
Well, they have Italian players. That helps people who are near the border because you got to get to your country there. So, like, why hasn't Edey gone to Canada? Like, that's a shortcoming to me. Like, we're not that far. Like, I'm trying to think of where Purdue is on a map. But I know where it is, but, like, I'm pretty sure you can get to Canada and like, take a gas, right? And if not, you're going to make money. Ziti, yeah. Right? Weird flex there by Purdue. I'm sure they'd love to hear that. They're collective.
Right.
It's a tool they have to use if they find some international players, but that would not be my priority right now. If they get into a tug of war with a recruit or a transfer, sure. But Chris, who knows how to execute that plan? He's not employed right now.
Yeah.
So like they did not leave the blueprint out, right? No. This is like there's like half a page in the book and someone tore the other half out just intellectually. So I'm not advocating for anybody to keep their job because that's not pushing anybody around. But like it says, yeah, we can go out and recruit international players NIL because we know how to. No, you don't. You did, but you don't have those people in house anymore.
Mid Blues asks, out of the available players in the portal, who's in the top 10 that would fill team needs? Let's focus on positions here, Mike. Where are you focused position wise in the portal right now?
I need people who can probably add size in the wing. If they're going to play Tucker DeVries as a four or alongside of a three who can really move, like maybe they have two threes, you're going to need somebody who can make that move possible. And he's not going to be a two in this conference. I wonder if he can be a three in the Big 12. And then he's not the biggest guy to be a four. So if you're going to play him at a four, maybe his speed isn't the best and his size isn't the best, but it could work more so than him. Never mind a two. But if he's like a three, that maybe he's outmatched. Well, I want to get somebody who can be his wingman. And whatever shortcomings you think he may have or weaknesses he may have, it covers that up. So a really complimentary piece, talented, quick, can score, can defend, can keep him out of a bad matchup, keep Tucker out of a bad matchup. Somebody like that in the front court with him. A three number two, a big three who can be a four. That's a priority for me because you have to optimize Tucker DeVries. And then I need guards. I think, again, we mentioned this before, if you got the fifth best guard, he's worth like this much to what you want to do, right? As opposed to this much. So again, he's worth more the higher he is. If he's your fifth best option, he's not worth as much. I think your fifth best big is going to be worth more to what you do than the fifth best guard. So if you prioritize one or the other, I want to maximize the talent I get at the guard position. If I had to come back later, I think I can get a catch at the five position later on in the process. So I'm prioritizing guards right now.
I am with you, and it seems DeVries is as well. A lot of the guys they're targeting or contacting early are three-point shooters. It looks like he is trying to surround Tucker with as many three-point shooters as possible. Big men, not really much contact there, but like you said, I think we said this on the last podcast, it's deep. Not deep with like NBA Jesse Edwards type centers, but it's deep with competent, 12 and 8 shooting 50% from the field type bigs that you can put down there in the post, that you could protect the rim. Seems like there are several of those available that West Virginia could conceivably get. So I'm with you. I'm prioritizing guards, long wings, three-point shooters, and it seems that DeVries is doing the same thing.
Yep.
Last question. CE5588 says, in a college basketball portal age, is it fair or unreasonable for our expectations for a year zero? He said year zero.
Oh my God.
You just sent Mike. You triggered him. Year zero coach to finish above 500. Mike, I'm pretty sure we already did a 3-minute video on the expectations for a new coach, but now that there is a new coach and we know who he is and we know what the situation is, above 500, is that fair and reasonable?
Yes, and it's contractually fair or reasonable. If he finishes in the top six in the Big 12, he gets another year in the contract. You're thinking, oh, cool. That means that DeVries wants to be here. It's not as much that. It's that they expect him to win and to be popular and possibly pluck somewhere else. They add, 37.5% of the remaining salary if he leaves. So if you add an extra year, you're getting 37.5% of $3.3 million in addition to whatever he would owe. So it's part of that, too. Like, there is an expectation he's going to be good. It's written into the contract. I'm not speaking like some foreign language here. That was done with intent. They think that he can be good. They expect him to be good. They want to incentivize it. They also want to protect their investment on the back end, too, because if he leaves with an added year in his contract, he has an added financial obligation for his buyout. The expectation, I'm not sure demand is the right word, but the expectation is certainly to be good to be top six in the Big 12. You are not sniffing the top six in the Big 12 if you're under 500. Under 500 the first year, I think, would be a pretty disappointing finish, no matter how it started right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. Things went
cook
south.
Up a bunch of non-conference wins.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Things went south this year in large part because non-conference was like, you're supposed to make it through non-conference with double-digit wins, mm-hmm. like no matter what, because in large part, you're setting that schedule up. You're setting yourself up for success leading into conference play. And there's been years where West Virginia went 11-1 or, 10-2. And you're like, oh, this seemed good. And then, oh, no, they suck. Like, they get the Big 12 play and they're playing real teams. No, they suck. They started 10-2. This team didn't even do that. So getting to 500 should be a reasonable expectation in year one.
Reasonable expectations, some news this week. And if not, tune in Monday. We'll be back later in the week with other questions about other sports. Feels therapeutic today. Hopefully this is not on the table for too long. They get some things done. They give us more to talk about. We'll be back end of the week. Talk about football, other sports, baseball back in business. Chris tied for first place in the Big 12 as we talked naturally. We all predicted that. Don't have to tell you how smart we are there. Until next time, I'm Mike Casazza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
We will talk to you then.